Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're in our series on Hebrews, which was one of the epistles in the Bible, written different than most of the others. And we're about to begin chapter 2, and we've been talking about righteousness, and we've been talking about ministers on fire, which is mentioned up there in the end of the last chapter, around verse 7. It's only, I think, 14 verses in that chapter. It talks about this scepter of righteousness, this scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness. Who's he talking about? Is he writing this letter to the Pope? No, he's writing it to the people. He's writing it to the individual elders of every family. And we're going to have more of a series, and we already have a series on core, and we've started a series on congregants, which we make available through the Living Network. What is this? What were the elders of, and an elder is an elder by circumstance. He is the head of a family. The only corporation that God originally created was the family. Two or more people gather together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority, as if it was one person. That's a corporation. Well, that's a family too. So when we talk about corporations, are we talking about families? Or when we talk about families, are we talking about corporations? Well, yes and no, because what pre-existing authority are we talking about? The pre-existing authority of God or the pre-existing authority of Cain? Because Cain went out of the presence of God and created the first corporate city-state, where he was the father of the city-state. Of all the people, he was their father, he was their patronus, their patri, their father of the earth, over the people. And they looked to him as a benefactor, and they gave him the power to exercise authority one over the other, even to bludgeon their very neighbors and brothers in order to obtain the benefits that they desired at the hands of their father, Cain. Your father was God the Father, or is your father Cain? Well, there's a lot of people out there claiming to be Christians, Muslims, Jews, and claiming God as their father, and saying they pray to God, but they're actually idolaters. They're not Christians, they aren't Muslims, they aren't faithful to Abraham, they aren't faithful to Moses, they aren't faithful to God. Oh, they got their Yahwehs and their Allahs, and they got all their words and their rituals, but they've unmoored their religion from the God of heaven, the God of creation, and therefore they create a world of chaos and war and violence and destruction. And the devil loves it. He is dividing you in the chessboard of the dialectic. He wants you to think religion is what you think about the divinity, about the superhuman God or gods that you believe are responsible for the laws of the universe. And so many Christians, I always think it's funny that so many Christians today say, well, we're not under the law. But they're actually under tens of thousands of laws. Because their real God is not the God of heaven they claim they pray to when they go to church and sing their songs. The real God they pray to is the benefactors who exercise authority, the fathers of the earth. And they don't even know what they're doing because their pastors are not ministers aflame with the fire of Christ. They are under a strong delusion. Now, some of them are halfway decent guys. They're not far from the kingdom in some of the ways they go. But there is a strong delusion that has already come over their minds and has created a cognitive dissonance in society where they can no longer see that they do not have access to eternal life because even though they knew the commandments, they have not kept them. By policy, they have not kept the commandments by policy. In other words, by practice, they actually go out of their way, out of the way of God, to violate the Ten Commandments. Daily. Daily. Intentionally. Because they don't even know they're violating the Ten Commandments because of that cognitive dissonance. They can't see it. They don't have eyes to see. They aren't humble enough to see. They have been devouring one another and they don't see it. They have been praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority to obtain reward and benefits and gratuities. And they think it's okay because their pastor said it was okay and their teachers in the seminary said it was okay and they said that these governments were created by God, but we know Cain created the first government. Not that all governments are created by Cain, because Christ preached a government. Call it the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God. Are you ruled by God? Are your leaders ruled by God? Or are they ruled by the spirit of Cain and the spirit of Saul and the spirit of Nimrod, who was a mighty provider of benefits before the Lord, instead of the Lord? You know, we go back to that common theme all the time because it is not righteous to desire benefits from men who exercise authority who will only give you benefits at the expense of your neighbor. And you say, I paid in, I have a right to those benefits. But there's no money in those coffers in Australia and Canada and Brazil and what have you. There's no money in there anymore. They're all bankrupt. Every one of them are bankrupt. Every one of them is operating in the red with a deficit. Even the ones that have confiscated all kinds of national resources, they're still in debt because they went and borrowed more than they actually had available. We see that in America, where they're constantly, every so often, they say, we have to raise the debt ceiling. The fact that you have a debt ceiling means you're in debt. And then since there's no division of funds, all welfare, all Medicare, all Social Security, all benefits of government come by taking away from the future, taking away from your children and your grandchildren, which is cursing them with debt, because debt was always considered a curse, a condemnation. You condemn your children to debt because you take those benefits. You see, in early Christianity, they wouldn't do that. Because that would be praying to the men who called themselves benefactors but exercised authority one over the other. And Christ said it was not to be that way with us. Not to be. Not to be. What part of not to be don't you understand? But the thing is, they're so proud and arrogant. Oh, well, we couldn't have got it this wrong. We couldn't be this confused. But you are. And so you got, you know, some lowly shepherd out in the middle of the wilderness being the voice crying, make straight the way of the Lord. What is the straight way of the Lord? What is, since the foundation of the earth, called righteousness? It's living by faith, open charity, and the perfect law of liberty. Not forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, but trusting in the ways of God, the ways of Christ, the ways of giving and forgiving. You're not doing that. So you haven't repented. You haven't turned around. And therefore, you do not have the scepter of righteousness, the scepter of His kingdom. You're back in the bondage of Egypt. You have no scepter. You have no access to His salvation in this life or the next. You're not saved. Write it down. You need to turn around. You need to go the other way. You need to go the way that Christ told us to go. You need that way of repentance. And so anyway, that's what we talked about. That's what we'll talk about again and again and again. We talked about this word world that is translated so many different ways and causes a great deal of confusion. We've talked about the word religion. At the time of the Constitution, it meant what you did to fulfill your obligation to your fellow man and to God. That was religion. That was the definition of religion. If you go back to the time of Christ, that was the definition of religion, pure religion, as we see in James. Taking care of the needy of your society, unspotted by what? The world. What world? The age, unspotted by the age, unspotted by the planet, didn't have any dirt on it. No. Since the foundations of the system of men. Unspotted by the system of men, the constitutional order and system of government that exercises authority. In other words, they were taking care of all their social welfare. All the needy of their society were taken care of by the perfect law of liberty through faith, hope, and charity. That's what Christians were doing. Is that what you're doing? Nah. So, are you a Christian? No, you're not. You're not a follower of Christ. You're not doing what he said, and you need to repent. So anyway, we're going to start in chapter 2 today, and we are constantly going to read a verse in Hebrews. And sometimes we'll read several of them and we'll talk about each individual verse, but we have to read Hebrews in context of the Bible, in context of the whole truth. So we may read one verse and then jump over to reading other deals, the other verses and other concepts and other utterings by Christ. So that we understand Hebrews in the context of Christ. Paul preached the gospel of Christ. He preached Christ. So if you take Paul out of the context of what Christ said, and I see pastors doing this all the time, you will not understand Paul. If you take Paul out of the context of time, and we have a whole series on Romans, which is one of the epistles of Paul, and we show that Romans, over 20 hours on Romans, in the context of the time, in the context of the language that was used in the text, so that you understand it in relationship to the whole gospel. So as we read chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Slip. That's an odd word. Let them slip. Slip away from us. Actually, that word is sometimes used to reference a leaky bucket. Run out. Leaking out of a vessel. So, if we don't earnestly heed, and remember how often Christ talked about being doers. Luke 22:25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. Does it mean you're not supposed to be a benefactor? You're not supposed to help one another, be a benefit to one another, be a benefaction, a blessing to one another? No. You're not to do it by exercising authority, by force. Until John the Baptist, the kingdoms of the world were established by force. But John the Baptist said, no, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. You know, and the same with meats. If you didn't have any food and you have extra, share. Now, you have to strengthen the poor, so you don't just share with any old lazy guy who doesn't want to work. Just wants to sit on the street corner and hold up a sign. And then he's probably also collecting welfare and living with a bunch of other people in a nice house. But he dresses up in a costume and he stands on the corner and he begs. And they do that. They do that up here in Bend all the time. And people fall for it. But they want to fall for it. They want to be stupid. They want to be ignorant. They want to strengthen the poor. And those guys are actually providing a service because it eases their conscience about all the other wickedness they do the rest of the day. Matthew 19:17, and he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. This is Christ. But if thou wilt enter into life, because somebody was asking him about eternal life, if thou wilt enter into that life, that eternal life, that salvation of life, in this life and the next, the eternal life, keep the commandments, he says. So if we read that, the words of Jesus Christ, and then we read that chapter 2:1, and it says, ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We have to say, well, we heard him say that. But I've actually heard pastors say, oh, well, yeah, but that doesn't count because that happened before the crucifixion, and we don't have to keep the commandments now. He actually said that. We don't have to have a more earnest heed of the things that we have heard. We don't have to heed what Christ said, because he said that. And he's saying we don't have to heed that because Christ died for our sins, and therefore we are saved. Yet we know that God sent his Son that we might be saved. So we still have something we have to do, and one of those things is earnestly heed what he said, which was, if you want to enter into eternal life, you must keep the commandments. I mean, in John 14:15, he says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So, did you hear him say that? Did he write, is that written down as quoting him? So have you heard that he said that? Then you must earnestly heed that which you have heard. Keep the commandments. For if you love them which love you, that what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? So here's he's talking in Matthew 5:46. That you have to love those who don't love you. That's right. You have to love those who don't love you, those who spitefully use you, who lie to you, and abuse you. You have to love them. But you have to understand what love is. See, you think love is that touchy-feely thing that you get in your from your put-in-hand pastors while you plop down in your pews. Is that enough alliterations for you? Luke 6:32. For if ye love them which love you, that what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. You see, why do we have to love those who spitefully use us and abuse us and everything? Because we have to learn to forgive. It's part of the nature of God that you're not going to find in hell. The devil isn't big on forgiveness. Nope, he's not a really forgiving guy. That character of God, that vibration of the only essence and presence of the existing one, that forgiving nature that we were originally given when we were created in his image, has been withered under the pride and falsehoods of our own betrayal of the character of God when we began to eat of the tree of knowledge. And that withered away. And that made us compatible with Satan. If you want to put on the armor of God, you have to put on the character of God. And you have to put it on so that it becomes a part of you. You have to become, you know, forgiveness has to become second nature to you. For if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? What grace will you gain in that? And this idea of earnestly heeding what Christ said. So what did he say about other things? In 7:21 of Matthew, we see, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, that's Christ saying that. Are you heeding that? Or has somebody crept into your church and said, you don't have to do anything. You just have to think a thought. You don't have to be doers of the word. You just have to be thinkers of what we tell you. And that's what they've done. It's a satanic gospel. Now, you're not saved because you earn it. But if you're not a doer of the word, but a hearer only, or just saying you believe in Jesus but not doing what Jesus said, saying you love Jesus but not keeping his commandments, of loving your neighbor as yourself and not praying to men who call themselves benefactors who exercise authority, you're not a Christian. You're in apostasy. You're under a strong delusion. Now, you may be deep down in your heart desirous of being a Christian. And if you can hear this rebuking voice of mine telling you these things and you want to repent and turn around, great. Great, because as soon as you repent and turn around, the Father is already on his way out to meet you. He will reach into the fires of hell and pull you out. But you have to be headed back. You have to repent and seek. Seek. Strive. Persevere. He's never going to owe it to you. It's still going to be by grace. But that's your job that doeth the will of the Father. And it is not the will of the Father that you covet your neighbor's goods and make the fathers of the earth your father on this earth, because you curse your children. You curse the fathers of the earth because we've seen where Saul was given power and it corrupted him. And in our series on congregations and cores, we're going to go into that. We'll go into the whole history of the shift. You know, because the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and they said there is another king, one Jesus, and they could actually legally do contrary to the decrees of Caesar because they had a king whose kingdom was not of the corporate kingdom of Caesar, of Augustus, or Tiberius, or Caligula, or Claudius, or Charlemagne, or Pippin, or Charles Martel, because they all claimed to be a part of that kingdom, from Augustus to Constantine, all the way up to Constantine VI, I guess it was, and then on to these other guys. They claim all the way back there, the Merovian kings, who have been a roving in your own history and ruling over you. Because you've been foolish men. And we'll talk more about this idea and these ideas and show you in the context of the Bible how you are all under a strong delusion and need to turn around and go another way and stop this vanity, this arguing vanity that goes on because I say something a little different than the way you've been hearing it. Get ready to repent. We're going to come back. And we're going to sock it to you, baby. Be right back. God bless.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbor as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right? but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. Talking about Hebrews, and we're in chapter 2. We've only gone one verse into it, and I'm showing you some of the supporting documentation of the Bible as to what it meant to be more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. Because if we don't reference back to the things that we've heard, then we don't know what we're supposed to be heeding. And so many pastors today are not heeding what Christ said. They've actually put aside the words that Christ has said to follow a doctrine created by men who crept in teaching damnable heresies. That's right. And they're doing it. And they're teaching it to you. And they're lulling you to sleep because they're ear ticklers. They're saying you're saved because you've become a Christian, because you've accepted an idea. You've said a series of magic words which now make you saved, because you say that you accept Jesus as Lord, Lord. But Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you're not saved because you said the magic words that you accept Jesus as Lord, Lord. Because saying the words is not enough. Christ was adamant about that, yet this is a constant, repeated philosophy of men, devoid of what Christ said and not heeding what Christ said, because he said, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." That's the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom. Not the ones who say they've accepted Jesus, but those that are actually doing what appears to be an acceptance of Jesus. And of course, you could fool me, but you're not going to fool Christ. You have to be a doer of his word and keeping his commandments because you love him. He knows whether you love him. You can't just be faking it like the Pharisees did, because you know, your modern Christian churches have more in common with the Pharisees than they have in common with Christ. All across the board, I can say this to almost every denomination. Now, in every denomination, you may find people that are not far from the kingdom, and they will repent and return to the ways of Christ. You think that the way they return to the ways of Christ is join his holy church? Well, yeah, it's true, but I don't run his holy church. It's his. It's not mine. I'm trying to conform to it. I'm trying to tell you, you should be trying to conform to it. In other words, you should be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all I'm saying is what Christ said. Your pastor is saying, no, all you have to do is say it, Lord, Lord, and you're saved. But Jesus said, no, not those who saith, but those who doeth. So who are you going to believe? Jesus or that pudding-palmed pastor who's put you in a pew? Hey, there's another one of those deals. Matthew 7:24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Whoa, he said it again. I will liken him unto a wise man. So the ones that aren't doing them, should we liken him unto a stupid man? A foolish man? Which built his house upon a rock. The man who built his house upon the rock is the one who's actually doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was not to be like the benefactors who exercised authority one over the other. The will of the Father is not to covet your neighbor's goods, not to desire benefits at the expense of your neighbor. And of course, not to kill and murder and adulterate your bodies with GMOs and poisons and bad stuff for you. But the most important thing is that you have to repent and turn around and follow the ways of Christ. He will protect you if you really do this in earnest. In Matthew 7:26, you see this is a whole pattern. We should probably go back and just read them right through. And everyone that, but I'll let you guys do that because we got a lot of peripheral quotes here just to show you the consistency of Christ, but the inconsistency of the modern church. Maybe I should say the consistency of the modern church to lead you away from Christ. And that's why I qualify the modern church. The real church isn't leading you away from Christ. His church isn't leading you away from Christ. His church is his church. Am I his church? Am I a part of his church? Am I doing what his church is supposed to be doing? You have to figure that out. He knows. Do you know? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. How clear can you get? In 26 it says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto what? A foolish man which built his house on sand. Because you say you believe, but you're not doing the will of the Father. You're praying to men who call themselves benefactors. You're seeking the benefits of the fathers of the earth. Your religion is not pure. It's very much spotted by the world. As a matter of fact, most of your religion Most of your fulfillment of your duty to God and your fellow man is done by men who exercise authority, not by charity, not by faith, not by hope, by entitlements extracted from your neighbor at the point of a gun, under threat and penalty of perjury, under penalties of the law, of ruling judges who sit in black robes and make you do it. Is it their fault? No. They should be there. They should be making you do it. Because you've been slothful in doing the will of the Father. And therefore, you should be under tribute. The Bible tells us that over and over again. You have sat and ate with rulers, men who exercise authority, with great appetite, and you did not refrain from his dainties. You pleaded with them, you begged for more, and now you've created a whole nation born out of iniquity. And you think you're going to win the vote? They got you outvoted, folks. I mean, like, can you imagine in the Two Towers and Tolkien's novels if the battle was decided by a vote, the orcs win. The goblins win. There's more of them. They love you to go for a vote. Yeah, let's vote. No. You have to change your ways. That's really what the whole story is about. They had to change from their selfish ways. And then they were given the power that is needed to destroy evil. Once they gave up selfishness, all the way down to the bottom of their hearts, how do you do that? You come together in faith, hope, and charity, and you start taking care of one another in small groups and linking those groups together. And in our series on core and congregants, we'll show you how the history from Constantine to Francis, we have gone away. The word religion has been redefined and redefined and redefined. Occasionally we get back to it, but immediately they redefine it. And you're lost again. In Matthew 12:50, you know, so now we jump from chapter 7 all the way up to chapter 12. He says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." He's repeating it again and again, verse after verse after verse. Doeth the will of my Father. No, modern church says, no, just have to think a thought. Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his thinking." No, it didn't say thinking. "According to his eschatology." No, it didn't say eschatology. "According to his imagination." No, didn't say that. What do you think it said? "According to his works." That's right. Works. That's why the devil always says, "Oh, no, don't worry about works. You don't have to do any works. I don't want you doing any works. I just want you thinking a thought." See, that's the devil. That's those damnable heresy guys. They don't want you striving. They don't want you seeking the kingdom. They don't want you to stop coveting your neighbor's goods. That's abhorrent to them. Oh, they get so excited. "Oh, no, it's not by works." Well, of course, you're not saved by works. But you should be striving to accomplish those works. You're not saved by saying either. You can't just say, "Lord, Lord." I mean, he said that. So what is it? It's repentance. Turning around, heading home again to be a servant in your father's house. Servant works, see? Be a servant in your father's house. That's why he was accepted. What do you think if the prodigal son turned around and said, I'm going to go back to my dad and hit him up for some more money? Do you think that at work? You think he'd hugged him and, oh, you came back for more money. I'm done so pleased. Kill the fatted calf. He came back for more money. He came back for what he could get out of me. Oh, kill the fatted calf. No, I don't think he's going to do that, folks. It's because he came back to be a servant. He came back to be a son. Big difference. So whosoever shall do the will of the Father, hey, Jesus said it, don't blame me. Not those who say, but those who do. I didn't make it up. For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of the Father and reward you according to your works. I didn't make that up. Luke 6:31, and as ye would that man should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Do you think it's okay to hire men to take from your neighbors to guarantee your welfare? Then figure on your neighbor taking from you to guarantee his welfare. And of course those men aren't going to do it for nothing. So figure on that he's going to take and take and take and take, because you've already rejected God and his ways when you started looking to men who exercise authority to provide you with benefits at the expense of your neighbor. You already abandoned eternal life. Yeah, it's gone. It's not available to you. You can think whatever thought you want. You can say whatever words you want. It's not available to you. And you find yourself yelling and screaming at your wife, or or betraying your husband, or vice versa. You're just going to get in deeper and deeper and deeper. You're in the quicksand now, and you're sinking. This is a soul-wrenching process of repentance that gets you into the kingdom of heaven, not magic words. Luke 6:46-49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord? Somebody asked him again, what must I do to obtain eternal life? Lord, he says, and do not the things which I say. Why call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Heed not the things that I have told you. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like the man which built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. What rock? The rock of faith. Yeah, you're saved by faith, but what's faith? You see, they changed the meaning of that word too. And we have an article up on that. It's been up on News Reviews. It's kind of mislabeled. It's part two of that word you use series. Hopefully we'll get them to straighten that out. I don't have access to that. We have it at hisholychurch.org too. But that word you use, faith. It's changed. They change the meaning. Devil does this all the time. He changes the meaning of words. This sophistry is his major tool. Because you worship the words. You don't worship the word. The word is spirit. You don't worship the spirit. Your intellectuals do this all the time. They study and they study and they never come to the knowledge of the truth because they're studying the words on the page. But the Word of God is not words on a page. The Word of God is the vibration of God. the essence of his character, the essence of his being, the image of his being. That's the name of Christ. It isn't how you spell it. It's actually who he is. And this is why Christ goes to all this trouble of explaining that you have to be doers. Why in Luke 13:24 he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why? Because they're not entering at the straight gate. They haven't made straight the way of the Lord. Somebody came along and said it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through the governments you create for yourself. Like who? Like Cain. Like Nimrod. Like those who elected Saul and Caesar. And whoever, who's the leader of your country? Constitutional leader of your country. You're trying to find your salvation through him in this world. So why would they want you in heaven in the next world? You've already betrayed and rejected God and his ways. You look to men who exercise authority. You don't look to be religious, fulfilling your duty to God and your fellow man through faith, hope, and charity. You have the religion of Satan, forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Such a common theme. I keep going back to it. You got to go back to it if you're going to hear the gospel. John 3:20-21. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. So here I am talking about the light. I'm going to be hated. I think I read that in the job description. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be singled out. I'm going to be attacked. I figure on it. But that's how you bring judgment, because when you do it, you love your enemy. Pray for me in that day, that I will love my enemy and bring his walls down by that love. Not because the power of my love, but because I love with the love of Christ. And the power of his love will bring their walls down. So cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. His deeds. You are condemned by your deeds, and you are rewarded by your works, your deeds. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, in that they are wrought in God. Are your deeds being made manifest, or are you doing the other deeds? Are you coveting your neighbor's goods? Are you praying to the men who call themselves benefactors? Are you coming together in a church that provides and fulfills your duty to God and your fellow man through faith, hope, and charity, like John said, like Jesus said, like Paul said? Or are you going to church so that it makes you feel good? I love that church. It makes me feel so good. They sing the songs I love. You wake up. You're not going to a church established by Jesus Christ. You're not going to his church. You're going to be lulled into a sense of false salvation because you have not repented. You have not been doing the will of the Father. John 5:20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And those works should be being done through you if Christ is in you. If God the Father is guiding you, you can do this. You can repent and turn around and go the other way. But if you're going to be arrogant, you're not going to have the strength to do it. and you won't have the blessings to do it, and you'll wonder why you're not succeeding. You have not repented. You're still trying to do it of your own will. You can't do it of your own will. You have to let down your will and let God become the guiding will of your life. You have to eat of His tree of life. Stop trying to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil where you're going to figure it out yourself. Start conforming and building your house upon that rock. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. So if you're going to continue in this unrepentant way, coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of the men you have elected who exercise authority, God's not going to hear you in that day. He tells you that way back. I mean, here it is in John 31. We can go back to Samuel. Go and cry unto the gods that you have chosen for yourself, because I will not hear you. The ruling judges which you have chosen for yourself, because I will not hear you. But if any man be a worshiper of God, which you are not, if you are doing contrary to what Christ said, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping your eschatology. You're worshiping the religion of ideas, which is idolatry, instead of the religion of action, where you are a doer of the word. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him he heareth. You see, that's where you're going to need that. You're going to need God to hear you. You're going to need His pillar of fire. You're going to need His earthquakes. You're going to need these things. And when those round about us see those things, they will fear, but they will want to believe it's a coincidence. And then they'll hear this recording. And they know that I laugh in the face of adversity. But I love them. I want them to repent. I want them to wake up and see their foolishness, their selfishness. Where does that selfishness begin? At home, with your husband and your wives, and your impatience with your children. Family is the perfect breeding ground for truth. But it's hard for some to receive that truth. But until they receive that truth, they will not have the force of God's power working in. They will deny the power of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof. They will deny its essence moving through them. So God wants to save them, but He cannot, because they don't hear and they don't turn around and they aren't doing what Christ said. They have a religion, form of godliness, looks good, but it's not the truth. They haven't gone the right way. In the next show, we'll talk about how He's given us an example. So stay tuned to the next show of Keys to the Kingdom, and we'll tell you all that. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you, because you're going to need Him. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.